Hi, everyone. This is Joyce, and you're listening to Powerhouse. In this episode, I speak to Beverly Chang, Director of Communications of an International Hospitality Corporation. She tells us her journey of going from magazine editorial to freelance writing to working in a large corporation. Hi, this is Joyce Young. Welcome to Powerhouse. Today, we have Beverly Chang with us, Director of Communications of an International Travel Company. So let's get started. Yeah, so I remember we met quite a few years back when we were working on our project, and you were writing, and I was doing the photography. But how did you get into writing and journalism?
So I guess I started back in Toronto before I moved to Hong Kong. And basically there was just this year, it was during the financial crisis, that I decided to quit my previous job in marketing and just do nothing for a while. And basically I was really confident that I would get a job. But of course it was a major recession and there were no jobs. So during that time, it ended up being actually the most fruitful time, because I think for 1 year I really re-examined what I wanted to do. So I took culinary classes, I taught at an art college, and I started writing restaurant reviews for a city. It started off as a blog, but it actually became one of the biggest online platforms in Toronto.
Right.
So I ended up writing weekly restaurant reviews, and then that led to events, and then that led to kind of a pretty steady gig. And then so when my partner and I decided to move to Hong Kong, the first thing I wanted to do was a full-time writing career, actually. So I applied for kind of like this free city weekly newspaper that I was a huge fan of when I had lived in Hong Kong 3 years ago. And then I didn't even have to come to Hong Kong. They just read a couple of my reviews and then they offered me a job.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So it was a pretty good transition, a smooth transition, like at least you're coming from Toronto to Hong Kong. Have you always known that you like writing and going into journalism?
I think in terms of writing, I always loved writing, or any kind of, I guess, form of self-expression. So when I was a little kid, I was really into drawing, and then I was like really into drama, and of course I was really into writing. I was into kind of everything, like everything like that, like dancing, singing, writing, drawing, performing, everything.
Wow, that's great.
But I think writing came more natural because it's something that you can kind of do on the side, and it's not so out there, I guess.
So
it's
you can do it,
right.
Kind of do it in your quiet time and kind of write about different topics as well. Were there favorite topics that you like to write about before?
I started off as a food writer, actually, and I was really into food. I think it was because I was a chubby kid. But basically, like,
skinny now.
I don't know. But basically, I loved food, and that's why I took culinary classes, and I grew up watching, like, the Food Network, so there's, like, this sense of comfort whenever there's a cooking show on TV, and that naturally gravitated towards food writing. And then later on, when I moved to Hong Kong, I started writing about art and culture because I have a background in art.
Right.
And that was really interesting too, because I love performing arts and I love also visual arts. So it was interesting to kind of apply like my art history background and writing interest into kind of the analysis of art and culture.
And there's a lot of changes in the art and culture scene in Hong Kong over the years. Was it interesting to kind of see that along the way while you're doing the art and culture section?
Yeah, definitely. I think when I started, I had no idea what I was doing. I literally arrived to the office of the magazine, and then of course there was like this should be instilled, but there was no training. So basically my editor at the time just kind of sat me down at a desk and threw a bunch of like previous magazines at me and was just like, okay, now write. And I was like, what am I writing? And they're like, art and culture. And I was like, who should I contact? And they're like, we'll find your own contacts.
So it was, figure it out.
Yeah, figure it out. And then eventually I did. I mean, mm-hmm. also with the help of my colleague, whose section I was taking over. Mm-hmm. And I think in the beginning, it was really just kind of going to gallery openings and seeing what was going on and then getting in touch with the different cultural ministeriums and then seeing shows. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, like in the past, you know, like, even the past like 7 years, the scene has really developed. Mm-hmm. I think at first I was covering Art Hong Kong, which later became Art Basel. Mm-hmm. And then now like Art Basel's huge, right?
Yeah.
So, and in addition to that, there was like Art Central along the way and Affordable Art Fair and all these kind of different international festivals that have really kind of come into Hong Kong.
Right, and have a huge influence and kind of still building the culture and the arts scene coming up.
Definitely.
That's great. What other jobs or any other moves in between while you're doing the writing? Because now you're in corporate, but maybe can describe the path to the current position.
Yeah, so I think most people, they always flip the other way, actually. A lot of people like yourself, like mm-hmm. a lot of people I know in Hong Kong, it's like they start off in corporate and then they kind of have this kind of like, I don't know, this like change of mind, this like sudden flip or like anxiety attack. I'm not saying you, but you know, like they just have this like weird meltdown.
Sure, yeah.
And then they basically make this giant move.
Right.
And then they do something really creative. For me, I was actually always, well, I guess for the past 9 years, I would say, I was always in a creative field. Mm-hmm. So I was always very much used to like different levels of chaos mm-hmm. and like difficult personalities, divas, creative types. I'm very comfortable in conflict, especially when it's very confrontational. So like if it's like, you know, I'm having a fight with like a photographer or a stylist or a designer because we have different points of views of what is stylish or what is ugly or what is news and what isn't news.
Yeah.
I'm very comfortable in that scenario. So after the weekly magazine, I moved into an interior design magazine for mm-hmm. many years where I guess the touch points was much broader, so it wasn't just writing and it wasn't just compiling stories. There was also a lot of photo production, overseas photo shoots, interviewing a lot of prominent designers and architects, which was, again, opened my world to a completely different way of self-expression, I guess, a different creative field.
Right.
And in that magazine, it was even a bit more corporate. So mm-hmm. By corporate, I meant it was more structured.
Right.
So suddenly there was an HR person who I didn't even know what the functionality of an HR person was.
Or up until then, yeah.
It was just like, oh, we didn't have healthcare. Like, what's healthcare? And then there was like an accounting department, and they paid us back for our taxis and meals, and I was like, what is this luxurious treatment?
Right, you're like, this is good.
Yeah, what is this professionalism? Like, holy crap, I get paid holidays more than like 8 days a year.
Culture from the previous, yeah.
It was, but I mean, it still had that hodgepodge of like highly strained creative types mm-hmm. where, you know, the environment is kind of like you get a lot of clashing egos mm-hmm. because everyone has a very particular point of view and are very vocal about it.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you have very clearly defined roles. So it's like, you are a photographer, you are a graphic designer, I'm an editor, this is a stylist. So even though you clash, it's at the end of the day, I'm not going to grab the camera and take the photo.
Right. It's like, okay, I gave you my opinion, but you're still doing the clicking. Yeah.
Exactly. And there's a certain level of, I guess, respect to that.
Right.
And I guess after doing that for about 4 years, mm-hmm. I really love that magazine, actually. I decided to go freelance.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, at the time when I decided to go freelance, I also wanted to just do something different. I think editorial work is really wonderful, But it does have its limitations, especially mm-hmm. now that basically print is dying a very slow death. Mm-hmm. I think you know, around the world and in Hong Kong, a lot of the print magazines, it's just kind of getting smaller and smaller teams. And
sure.
Everyone, I mean, you don't go into the job to get paid well. Mm-hmm. Like, it's already kind of agreed upon.
Right.
But then in addition to that, it's your team gets smaller and your duties expand exponentially.
Right.
So I think for me, I always was very curious in a way to know, why do so many bright young minds go into corporates? Mm. Like, why is it in school everyone kind of all has these lofty goals of going to like Goldman Sachs or like Apple or Google?
Sure.
It's like, why do you want to do that?
Right.
And so I was also curious, like, what does it feel like to actually get paid for like what you do?
Paid, yeah. Properly.
Like,
yeah.
Properly. You know, like what is it like to actually have a salary that actually is reflective of your skill at a certain age after a certain X amount of years?
Right.
And I also was very curious at the time of knowing what my market rate was.
Mm-hmm.
Like, now that I have this amount of experience in editorial, a bit of marketing experience from when I was in my early 20s, what can I do now and what corporation would be able to utilize my skill?
Right.
What kind of job would be able to for me to make a contribution?
Right.
And I think that I thought a really long time about that. And then I even went to like 10-day silence meditation. And I went like to six weeks to Europe. I freelanced for a lot of different magazines. And then I came across this job in communications.
Great.
Yeah.
Did you have to look far, or it was also a pretty chance meeting in terms of the job itself?
I think after I had 6 months of freelancing and I basically decided that I need structure, because otherwise I'll just take every job and I was just working like all the time.
Yeah.
And also in a way that was a bit like erratic. Mm-hmm. And I decided to look for kind of like the full-time job structure again. I just went on LinkedIn and just looked at different jobs. And I mean, it's pretty typical. I saw a bunch of jobs, and then I think when you have the option of freelancing, you're not going to take anything, right? Because you know you're able to survive on your skill.
Right.
So you're like, I'm not going to take a there's nothing wrong with telemarketing, but I'm not going to do like telemarketing.
Sure.
You know? And
yeah.
I'm not going to suddenly like sell dental equipment because
right.
it's not a passion and it doesn't utilize my expertise.
Right.
So I kind of honed in on communications and I started looking at industries that I was interested in.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there were certain things that stood out, like design and architecture, hotels and travel,
mm-hmm.
And art and culture.
Right.
So those are the kind of the three things I was looking at.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess what I realized was that editorial skills are actually really marketable.
Mm-hmm.
So I started applying just kind of like, I guess in a way, like targeted shotgun approach.
Right.
And I was like kind of, I was interviewing a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I was shortlisted for two jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So one job was for a major conglomerate that owns hotels, properties, real estate and design
mm-hmm.
in Hong Kong. And then the other one was the job that I work for now, which is an international hospitality company.
Mm-hmm.
So during the process, it was really just kind of getting a feel for the company culture. I think for me, the biggest thing is when I meet not just my boss, but other people on the team mm-hmm. and getting a feel for whether it's a good fit.
Right. Whether you want to work there, right?
Yeah. I think for me, that was the defining factor.
Mm.
I think one company, it felt kind of like walking into their lobby. It was like super high up in a very like glossy building. Everything was concrete and glass, which is nice. But then even the receptionists were wearing these like uniforms, and it felt very austere and cold.
Right.
And the person who interviewed me, who would become my boss, also seemed a bit like very removed.
Right.
Whereas the company I work for now, I mean, it's a hospitality company. So yeah. You walk into the office, it's like super, it's like well designed.
Yeah, welcoming. Like a barista.
Yeah. And then I met my boss and I really liked her. Mm-hmm. And then I think she swore during our interview and I felt really comfortable.
Like, that's my style.
Yeah, just really kind of like casual, like upfront, mm-hmm. cool. I met some of my teammates and I felt comfortable with them.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's good. So it's good to know what you want, kind of go after that actively. And then when you interview, just make sure you feel comfortable with the culture and the type of team that you work in.
Yeah,
so that's great.
Exactly.
So after you started, you're doing really well. And what are some of the main challenges to getting used to getting back into a corporate world and moving up in that world?
Yeah, I think for me, I think the first year, most people say that, you know, you have this like 3 month trial phase or
yeah.
not trial phase, what is it called?
Probation period.
Probation, yes. So 3 month probation period. But I would say that the first year, like the entire first year, I had no idea what I was doing. Like I couldn't even really like fully explain what my job was.
Mm-hmm.
I think... And that was the biggest challenge. I think in a big international corporate,
yeah.
it's the opposite of what I mentioned with magazines, where everyone is very clearly defined, mm-hmm. and you have very small teams. So it's like you write, you do photography, you do printing, you do sales.
Right.
Like I think in a big corporate, especially in if you're not in certain departments, if you're like me and you're in like marketing,
mm-hmm.
Where communications and PR falls under, there's a lot of things that cross over, but then there's a lot of teams that are just like in their own swim lane, which
right.
is one of those corporate terms I've
yeah.
learned recently. So,
in their own swim lane, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's what ends up being a little bit challenging and frustrating, is that actually we all say, oh, team, but the collaboration process is actually very low. It's very mm-hmm. low in terms of collaboration. Yes, within your team, yes. But I think across functionalities and across teams, it's very different.
Right. Very competitive.
It's not even really competitive. I think sometimes it's just not as clearly defined who should do what
mm.
and what the end goal is as well.
Right.
I think ultimately the end goal is for the business performance
mm-hmm.
or to create awareness
right.
for marketing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think sometimes it's very challenging to work together, because
mm-hmm.
I think everyone's objectives, everyone's interests are different.
They're different, yeah. So
yeah.
There's no clear direction, so they're going to kind of craft or put their priority first, and so it's a little different from the overall objective, I guess. Yeah.
I think everyone just has their own different objective,
right.
and I think at the end of the day, everyone wants to do their best, right? Mm-hmm. But like, best is defined very, very differently.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in addition to that, like, you know, with corporate culture, at least, like as friendly and as like sociable as people want to be, I think at the end of the day, there is still politics.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always these like unspoken things that happen that you sense, but are not said.
Right.
Whereas I think in more of a creative field, you'll straight up tell someone that's like ugly, like remove it.
Right.
Or I am not putting this in
right.
the book.
Yeah.
Or like change that girl's hair and she's standing right there.
Right.
So it's very immediate.
Right.
Very
more direct.
Yes.
Just get it done, you know, nobody's
yeah.
offended. But yeah.
yeah, and there isn't that kind of like the slow pain.
It's kind of like a tiptoeing around, and you have to kind of get a feel of what really is the issue,
yes.
and then try to
but
work on that.
But in a way, like an inspection, like, kind of like a detective.
Right.
You know, like, right. you have to be like, ooh, like, how does that person feel? How does that person feel? But I don't know if I could talk to that person. Like, it's all kind of this, like, mind game. Mm. And I think sometimes it's really important to, I think it's easy to kind of totally get absorbed into mm-hmm. it. Mm-hmm. But then it's also important to just take a step back and chill. Like, right. Yeah.
And well, what do you most enjoy about your current job?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I've learned so much. Like, it's only been 2.5 years, but I feel like it's been 8 years. I mean, in terms of, I've already changed my role twice. Mm-hmm. I went from kind of having 8 brands to then having 8 brands plus doing a lot of different kind of corporate initiatives, including like a women in leadership conference. And then after then, at the beginning of this year, I got promoted and I got my own team. Okay. So really, I think it's just kind of getting out of the space of what I know and mm-hmm. learning that there's so much else out there, and mm-hmm. that even this whole corporate world exists
right.
is kind of interesting.
Right, it's learning in itself, right? It's like, wow, that's how it is, and that's how you have to do different things to navigate it.
Yeah.
And with a team, there must be new challenges.
Yeah, I think having a team has been really awesome, actually. Mm. Oh, yeah, cool. I like the fact that, you know, when it's not just you, and then mm. I like the feeling of being responsible for other people and making sure that, you know, they feel satisfied. Like, not every day. Like, they can totally bitch about me. Like, they can totally, there will be days when they're unhappy.
Yeah.
But I think it's more about, like, how do you achieve your team goals together? Like, how do you make sure that they feel like they're contributing mm-hmm. and they're able to voice their opinions and they're able to do a good job? Mm-hmm. And how do you make sure that they have the platform so that they have future growth and mm-hmm. that people in like a massive organization sees them, mm-hmm. right? So I think that for me has been really good. That's, I think, great. Going back to what the best part of my job is I also really like kind of working with so many different teams. Mm-hmm. Like, I think because we're at the corporate office in Asia Pacific, and I have a lot of kind of ad hoc projects. So I think every month I'll have 1 or 2 projects that are with hotels in Asia Pacific. Mm-hmm. So we work very, very intensely mm-hmm. with, say, a team in Nepal 1 week, and then it might be a team in Thailand the next week. It mm-hmm. might be like Australia, Korea, wherever, to do like a major brand campaign, or to do like a major press trip where mm-hmm. we bring like anywhere between 15 to like 80 journalists. So kind of the work that, and then once we get there, then it's like 24 hours for 4 days. So yeah. I think we work so intensely with different teams that it gives a lot of insight on the local culture.
Yeah.
And kind of how, I think, especially how, in a way, how women are perceived in different cultures, sure. because a lot of times, like, PRs and marcoms and communication professionals are women, mm-hmm. but then they work in a hotel, which is still kind of a very hierarchical, traditional structure.
Right.
So it's interesting to see the role of women in those different cultures and cities, right. but also how people communicate, how people work. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
So it kind of gives a broader sense than the previous positions and or freelancing, right? So in the corporate, yeah. you'll be able to reach further and see different things.
That's yeah. cool. And I think also in a corporate is you're just, it's just a different scale.
Right.
It's a different scale. I think going from journalism, right? It's really that as one writer, you can only reach your readership. Mm-hmm. So if your magazine has, say, 30,000 copies, mm-hmm. it's just a percentage of that
right.
that will reach people
right.
who are interested in that topic. Whereas I think as a corporate person or as a communications professional, like, I'm reaching out to an X amount of journalists mm-hmm. and curating kind of travel experiences for them that mm-hmm. will inspire many more stories to all of their readers in right. different places across Asia Pacific.
Right.
So it's, everything is just scaled up.
Yeah.
And even the projects, I mean, to have funding is insane. I mean, like when you're in editorial, you're so scrappy.
Right.
Like you negotiate, you bargain, you hustle.
Right.
But in a corporate, you have like cash
right.
to really do wonderful things.
You're like, oh, I can do this now.
Yeah. You have cash. You have like great people who are talented to work with.
Right.
You have teams that you can lean on with different expertise.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's different. Yeah.
So what do you think is your most pivotal move?
I think for me, it was really the physical move to Hong Kong.
Mm.
So I think being in Hong Kong, it really becomes a springboard to every possibility.
Mm-hmm.
I think having worked in Toronto and having worked a little bit, very short amount of time in Japan, and then moving to Hong Kong, I think whatever you want to do, you can find a way of getting there quite mm-hmm. quickly. I think part of it is just because, you know, when you're in Hong Kong, you end up meeting just tons of different people because the city is so compact and it's so small. And mm-hmm. even if you go to Wan Chai Market, you'll see like a super like pimped up like Beamer with a lady like buying a fish,
right
but then at the same time you'll see like a random person like hawking fish balls. So
right.
so I think that's just kind of one example of the different cross sections you'll run into, and so I think being in a place that is kind of like booming in terms of creativity, in terms of a lot of different fields, was very pivotal. I think Hong Kong really puts you in touch with the right people if you want,
mm-hmm.
and it's a place where you can really explore every curiosity that you're into.
Right, totally agree.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And how do you find your inspiration?
I think for me, I mean, going back to Hong Kong again, I just really love people watching, and I think Hong Kong is great for that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whether I'm sitting, you know, in a cafe on Hollywood Road and just kind of watching like hipsters doing their thing, or I'm like walking or sitting somewhere in Kowloon,
mm-hmm.
And just kind of seeing kind of all the craziness bustling around me, or I'm doing a hike on the South Side or wherever, I think the different kind of backdrops, mm-hmm. I really like it. Like
mm-hmm.
every time I see a different scene, it kind of sparks a new like story or a mm-hmm. new trajectory.
Right.
Yeah. And kind also of, traveling, of course.
Yeah. It brings out the storyteller in you, right? Like when you see these different backdrops and kind of think of different ways you can portray it or, well, draw inspiration from it.
Yeah.
In terms of traveling, what are the places or favorite places, or what are the places, yeah, you usually can go to for that, you know, inspiration or just to relax and recharge?
Well, I think because, I mean, before, I think I really love like really intrepid places.
Mm-hmm.
I think some of the best trips I did were really random, like 6 days hiking volcanoes nonstop in Japan for
right.
a story.
Right.
Or another one was just kind of like riding elephants in the Golden Triangle.
Right.
Or, what was another one? Oh yeah, I did one last year where, no, 2 years ago, where we built houses with Habitat for Humanity with a bunch of journalists in Nepal.
Wow.
So I like places where, I guess maybe because I live in such a big city,
mm-hmm.
I like places where there's absolutely no people and very little civilization and
right.
probably underdeveloped.
Right.
'Cause I think that's where there's kind of interesting stories and,
mm-hmm.
and kind of interesting cultural perspectives.
Right.
But these days, because I travel so frequently for work, I actually prefer to just stay in Hong Kong.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just kind of take it all in, relax, and recharge that way, right? Just being in your moment.
Exactly. And just spending time with my partner, with friends,
mm-hmm.
Kind of just chilling out at a cha tan tang, having
yeah.
a milk tea. I don't
yeah.
know. I really appreciate those quiet moments.
Right.
Yeah.
And what are some of your next project or next move?
So lately, I mean, in addition to work, mm-hmm. I mean, there's nonstop projects there.
Right.
And a lot of times I also feel that, you know, it's really hard, this whole work-life balance thing. I don't really believe it because it's all your life,
right?
Like, I mean, 8 hours a day, can you really separate that from your life? You
right.
can't.
Right.
So, but I'm just trying to add on to it. Mm-hmm. So in addition to work, I'm doing a master's program in mm-hmm. art and culture at HKU, which is super awesome, actually, just to be in a classroom setting mm-hmm. with different professionals and kind of contributing to some or learning about something new.
Yeah.
And then I've been doing a lot more creative projects as well. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes I miss writing. So
yeah.
recently, I you were there. Like, yeah. I wrote a short story and I performed it at the Hong Kong Spoken Word Festival.
Yeah.
And then I'm also thinking about other kind of creative writing projects that I can start,
mm-hmm.
Just as a way of, just as an offshoot of work.
Right.
Yeah, just as in a way to diversify. And then also, of course, like dancing and, yeah, different things.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's a lot of activities and interests on, for the weekend and off hours.
Yeah, I think it's important to... Especially as communicators, as someone in PR and communications, you always have to meet people. And
right.
you constantly talk, you entertain, you present the best of yourself and
right.
engage the other person.
Right.
And I think if you don't have different interests and if your whole life revolves around your work, you literally have nothing to talk about. Like,
right.
you have nothing to talk about. I mean, you're already on a project, you're
yeah.
already... in a beautiful hotel or a resort, you can't keep on talking about the hotel and resort for 4 days straight.
Right.
Like, there's other interests, and
yeah.
I think especially with journalists and especially with the kinds of caliber of people that we speak to,
mm-hmm.
you have to be flexible and you have to be in the know of other things that are happening.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's very important.
Right.
Yeah.
And last question, what kind of advice would you give our audience, especially those looking to go from freelance to corporate?
I think it's just really about being very clear why you're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it is a huge shock in the beginning. Like I said, it took me a year, and I don't even think I've fully, I've fully become accustomed to it. I think there's pros and cons of each.
Mm-hmm.
I think freelance is very clear that you have flexibility, freedom to say yes or no to a project.
Mm-hmm.
The con of that is definitely the instability,
mm-hmm.
both financially, schedule-wise, everything.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're able to cope with that, then that's okay. And on the other hand, with corporate, it's all about stability. So
mm-hmm.
you have a stable hours, more or less, even if you overtime, I mean, you still have some awareness of it.
Right.
You have a stable paycheck, all of those things. But I think with corporate, there's just a lot of things that the people piece is the biggest piece. So the pro of that is that you have great access to talent and you really have the resources to make awesome projects.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the con of that is, of course, like sometimes like the politics.
Right.
So I think, yeah, for someone who is thinking of making the move, I think it's really to be clear on what you want.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, of course, to leverage your talents and your skills. Because
right.
as a freelancer, you're extremely skilled in your area. And
mm-hmm.
that's why people hire you
right.
for that specific
that.
Skill.
Yep.
And in a corporation, like, they really need talent.
Mm-hmm.
And they really need certain skills, especially creative skills.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, a lot of times corporates are so used to doing things in a super old-fashioned, like old-school, slow-moving
right.
way.
Right. Yep.
And they need that fresh blood and that fresh mind
yeah.
to contribute.
That's great. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.